Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Marcy Claiborne to the broadcast. Marcy is the Chief Information Officer at Ford Motor Company. Marcy's been with Ford for more than 32 years and rose to the CIO post in January 2015. In that role, she oversees IT services for Ford's global operations. Prior to her ascension to the CIO post, she held roles as the Director of the Office of the CIO and was also CIO of Ford's European operation. Marcy earned her bachelor's degree from the University of Michigan, Stephen M. Ross School of Business. I recently caught up with Marcy in her office in the Detroit area, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed the alumni of the Ford company and how the culture of Ford has led to such great success for many individuals. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how IT communicates its feedback to other areas of the organization as customers of Ford itself. We also gauged her thoughts on progress for women in technology, her thoughts on the future of the driverless vehicle, how her strategic plans for the organization have evolved, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Marcy Claiborne, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Marcy, I wanted to talk to you a bit about your experience thus far, a little bit more than a year in role as Chief Information Officer of Ford. Yours was an enviable transition, enviable for the reasons that you were following a leader who was certainly deemed a successful leader who was retiring. You'd been with the organization for a while, presumably had been groomed for the role. It wasn't a surprise to you. I don't imagine that you were ascending to the role of Chief Information Officer. So unlike other transitions where somebody's coming in from the outside, for instance, and replacing a leader who's been let go, I imagine it was a smoother transition by comparison. But I'd love to understand, nevertheless, how you prepared yourself for the role leading up to the days before January 1st of 2015 and the sorts of things you did in the early stages of your tenure to set yourself up and your team up for success.
Thanks. Great question. I would say one thing that we think about at Ford is succession planning and making sure we have a smooth transition to provide a stable environment for our teams to continue to operate. Not that there won't be change and the company continues to change and evolve, but we all need to do that and support that change. So one thing I was conscious of is making sure we had a smooth transition in the handoff. And so let me describe a few things we did around that, and then I'll talk about a few other areas as well. One thing, actually, was working with Sarah and her team, where Nick Smith and my predecessor and I did an interview, kind of a live interview with the two of us, about the transition, about things he was happy about in his role, why he thought I would be a good candidate, then asking me about what was important to me going forward in the role. And then that was broadcast to the entire company. So that was one thing I think just very publicly to say it was going to be a smooth handoff. We were aligned on the succession and that we were going to continue to work together until the final day. So that was a very public way we did that. The other thing we did is, the transition happened at a time, and this will probably be no surprise to you, where Ford was changing and kind of disrupting itself, going from an automotive manufacturing company to really a technology-led company, a mobility transportation company. And so IT obviously plays a huge part in that, very exciting part in that. So at the same time all this was happening, IT kind of had to reinvent itself as well in response to the direction Mark Fields was taking the company. So that all happened the very end of 2014, as I knew I was getting the role and Nick was leaving. And we wanted to send a message to the IT team. In fact, we did a big strategy update, and I can explain what that entails later on as well. But before Nick left, I asked him to participate in a video with me and my IT leadership team that we then sent to all the employees their first day back at work last year, actually my first official day in the job, to talk about the transformation. And I wanted to include Nick, and at first he was like, no, you don't have to include me, but I thought it was important to again give that signal that this isn't, we're not going to flip the switch and everything's going to change. It's a journey. It's an evolution. We're going to continue to support forward as we change as a company. But Nick was involved in those conversations, so it's all going to be very orderly and smooth, you know, just give everybody a level of comfort there. So that was another thing that we did that I think helped. As far as preparing myself, I think that, you know, I really have to thank the company for giving me great experiences along the way to make sure that I was ready. So, and examples are, I've moved around a lot throughout my career and saw many, many parts of Ford. I've been with Ford for 32 years now. And before that, I worked for AT&T. And some of the key roles included being the CIO of Ford Europe. So I lived in Germany for a few years in that role. And really, I think the point there was to learn to operate autonomously and actually lead an IT function. And then coming back here, the job before I took the current role I have was creating a brand new function within Ford called the Office of the CIO, a large function which took all the components of IT that are sort of shared services or things that other groups rely on, like enterprise architecture, strategy, communication, project and program management, ITSM type of services, all those things that other groups depend on and share, and really running the business of IT. So we created the Office of the CIO, Nick asked me to. And that was another way to kind of get me positioned and get some additional experience. Another component to that job was emerging in enterprise IT. And that gets to what are the new things going on in the company and how does IT engage? So before I got this CIO role in the office of the CIO, I had those emerging technologies and it really got me well connected into the connected vehicle in the connected consumer world. So when I get this role, I knew what was going on. I was well connected and integrated from our customer perspective. And also it gave me a really good insight into how I would backfill myself in those roles.
What a great and comprehensive answer. You began to mention some of the strategic priorities that emerged. I'd love to dive a little bit more deeply into some of those initial plans, what rose to the top. I'm sure some of that was continuity from the past administration, so to speak, but I'd love to understand some of the new things also that made their way to that first plan that you put together.
Sure. So we work on annual objectives like everybody else every year. But one thing we did different last year and continued the journey this year is, you know, we have a new objectives and they fall into four main categories, four strategic priorities. But what we did different last year is we talked about the fact that sometimes when you do that, too many priorities can kind of get lost in the shuffle. So while we have our objectives, and like I said, there's a myriad of them, I'm sure we're no different than other companies, we took time to think about what were the big levers. So there could be, we have four categories of objectives, so let me start there. Run and protect our business, which is operations, controls, those kinds of things. Improve our business, which is launching new functionality, including innovation. There's one around our own impacting our own IT business, which we call capacity, agility, efficiency. And then a final one, and most importantly, a people objective. So those are the four categories, and then there's several objectives in each of those categories that we roll out. What we did different last year, and we continued it this year, is we said, okay, that's all great, but what are the big levers that we can pull to really move IT forward in response to where Mark Fields is taking Ford Motor Company? And we thought long and hard, and we decided there were six things that were the big levers. They were included in the objectives, but we wanted to give a message to the team that if you have to prioritize, if you have to make choices, think about these six big levers, and I can tell you what they are, what they were for last year, and we changed them a little bit for this year. So the first one, and I think a very important one, is enterprise architecture. Instead of thinking about things bottom-up or thinking about architecture as something that happens after the factory review process, leading with architecture. So when you build a house, you start with a blueprint, starting with those blueprints. So we've spent a lot of time on that, and that will continue to be a growing focus for us and happy to expand more on that. The second one was Agile IT. And again, I'm going through our 2015, and so I can explain the change in focus for 16. But when I started, these were the key things. Agile IT shouldn't be confused with Agile methodology that we also use to develop projects and programs and capability for Ford. Agile IT is really thinking about how we respond at market speed, which is changing, to the place that Mark Fields is taking Ford. What is our IT role and how do we respond at market speed to that? The third one is security and compliance, and it's more than just controls. It's really around cybersecurity. So how do we protect our digital enterprise within Ford? And how do we protect our employees and our customers, including in the vehicle? So the scope of this is increasing vastly. So that was the third one. The fourth one was end-to-end effectiveness. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we worked with Accenture on creating an operating model for IT, which thinks about how we run our very big business. And within that, there are 33 processes. We've got process owners and KPIs, et cetera. We are very big, and we've made improvements within those processes in certain areas, like how we deliver project and programs, or we run an IT service management journey as it aligned to things like COVID and IDLE. But now we want to take a step back and connect those things end-to-end across the enterprise. So as we've optimized pieces, we probably could have done a better job of optimizing the whole, and that's what this one's all about. The fifth one is innovation, and we've had a big focus on that for a while, especially where Mark's taking the company. Innovation is very important. Really innovating in every part of our business, it's everybody's job. It's just not one team's job. And how you look at your job and how you interact with your customers differently and always provide that innovative lens. And the final one, which is foundational to everything I talked about, is culture. And thinking about how we create a culture where people feel empowered to contribute. When I took this job, Mark Fields and Bill Ford both gave me the same message, which is, as we take this company to be a technology-led company, IT is uniquely qualified to take a leadership role there. How do we make sure our IT team members feel that leadership and feel empowered to take that? And we have around, it's called New Drive, and it's really telling our employees, you take the wheel. You are empowered to drive. So that's the cultural piece has been a really important thing. And it includes things like servant leadership, which I can also talk about. That was the list for 15. We just tweaked it for 16, and I'll talk about those changes.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, there's several topics there that I'd love to dive into. Maybe it'd be good to talk about some of the tweaks first and then the few different areas I'd like to peel back the onion on. What are some of the things that have been modified for the year ahead?
So we had a lively discussion on this, which is, given all the change going on as we really transform Ford into a technology company and what that means for IT, I'm a fairly new leader still. I have other new leaders on the team. Do we keep the big six constant or do we change it? And what we decided to do is we thought the term big six had kind of become a tagline that people were hanging on to. So we thought it was important not to change that. And we had gotten feedback from the teams, however, that two of the big six that I talked about were a little overlapping. And so we took that feedback on board, and the two that the teams felt were overlapping were Agile IT and end-to-end effectiveness. When you think about it, it makes sense. The group that was working on the market speed part, to do that, you have to be more effective end-to-end. So those teams were bumping into each other a little bit. So what we did is we combined those two, and we renamed it Emerging and Core Mode Effectiveness. And let me explain that for a minute, because the label might not be intuitive. We, as part of our journey, have reorganized into two modes of IT delivery, and it matches where Mark is taking the company. We're going to have emerging business opportunities, but we have our core business of designing, manufacturing, servicing, financing, and selling vehicles, and that is the most important thing we do. That's foundational to everything. But these emerging business opportunities will be synergistic with our core business. So to support that, we've reorganized IT into what I think Gartner calls bimodal IT. And so this emerging and core mode effectiveness new big six item is meant to take Agile IT and end-to-end effectiveness together, and also acknowledge the fact that we are supporting One Ford in our efforts to be in both emerging and core businesses, and to make sure that everybody feels included, that these improvements are going to be for the whole team, not just if you're working in one mode versus another. So that gave us five. And then there was a sixth one that we added that was new. And it's complexity reduction and technology refresh. We are a very big company. We're 112, 13-year-old company. And we've got probably one of every sensitive you can imagine. We have had a focus on this, but I thought the time was right to really make it one of the big levers we pull and think more crisply as we get into some of these emerging business opportunities in particular, how we update our technology footprint, improve our renewal processes to better position us to integrate with some of the external parties that we'll have to. So those are the changes we made for 2016.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I not only enjoy hearing the content, but also the process of evolution, since every strategy ought to be changeable and evolve to change with the time. So it's great to understand kind of the thinking that went into some of the modifications you described. I wanted to actually dial into a couple of those. So number one, you talked about innovation. And there's been a tremendous amount of innovation in the industry. Ford has certainly announced a number of innovations. Digital innovation is one of those areas, and rethinking customer experience in the car, for instance. I'd love to understand IT's role in some of what all of us have been reading regarding some of the innovations that Ford is undertaking to rethink driver experience.
Sure. So a couple things around innovation. I think to tell people that it's part of their day-to-day job, for some people it's very natural. For some people, it might be a little unnatural, and that's where the cultural piece comes in. So Mark Fields has done a great job from an overall company perspective of talking to the teams about having an innovation mindset. So he has a video blog that he shares with us on a regular basis, and part of the innovation mindset, he talks about things like challenging custom, questioning tradition, riding the technology curve are some examples. And so what we do as leaders that work for Mark is we provide him examples where our teams are doing those kinds of things so we can share those across Ford so people can get ideas and also hopefully get inspired by some of the work of the teams. So I wanted to provide that overall Ford context to start with. In IT, we've actually been doing this probably for a while longer maybe than some of the teams, just because we are a technology group and things like hackathons are something we've been doing for the past few years. We've been doing hackathons around areas that are relevant to support Ford. So an example of some of the hackathons we've done have been around wearables, OpenXC, which is our open platform to write code that can be used to interface with the vehicle. We've done hackathons on mobility. And so we try to pick themes that then can contribute to where Ford is going from an innovation perspective. And before we start the hackathons, we invite our leader, who's in our general counsel office, who leads the patent area. We have Bill come in and talk about what it takes to get a patent, the importance, what the reward for the company and the employee are, to kind of inspire them, again, to think beyond what their maybe normal job is and use their skills to contribute in different ways. So these hackathons have resulted in the IT team coming up with patents that can contribute to what's going on in the vehicle, and I can share some of those ideas if you'd like. So that just starts the juices flowing, hopefully, and people seeing that they can contribute in all kinds of different ways. The hackathons are normally held over the weekend, and people, believe it or not, are really, really excited about coming and contributing. We've done them all around the globe. I have a team that works in our emerging IT area that travels around and supports the hackathons. We've kind of got it down now to a bit of a science. But again, I think it's important to pick themes that are relevant to where Ford is going and how we can contribute into that content. So an example of a patent that emerged from one of these opportunities is something called Hush Killer, which is if the car gets quiet, where we're worried the driver might be distracted or they're nodding off or getting sleepy, we can find ways to introduce noise to make sure that the driver stays alert. So that's just one example.
That's great. I thank you for describing the process as well as some of the fruit of that. I also wanted to talk a bit more about, you referenced one Ford, and I know that there's, as you pointed out, there are IT components to that as well. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about IT's role in that.
Sure. One Ford actually is something that we talk about. Alan Mulally introduced that concept several years ago when he was with the team. And it really talks about operating as a global entity across all of our business units and all of our, we call them skill teams or functions, and how we work together to support our stakeholders and customers and do the best thing for the enterprise instead of individual agendas. That's kind of what One Ford is about. Our role in that is to, number one, support the various organizations in whatever their technology needs are. But also, as Ford kind of switches it up and transforms, into more of a technology-led company, our role is to really play more of a leadership role in pointing out opportunities. I can share an example. In China, our Lincoln brand has been very successful, and we opened 33 dealerships there last year. We were struggling to keep up with the demand of the customers to want dealerships open fast enough to engage with the product and the brand. It was the IT team that came up with the idea of actually using robots, iRobots, to open virtual dealerships and allow customers to engage virtually with the product and the brand. It does a couple things. Number one, it allows some of the folks that are more comfortable maybe with an online or technology experience to have that experience and have choices. And number two, it helped buy some time so we could get some of the physical dealerships up to create another way for customers to interact with us. So that is one example. There's many more, but the main theme is feeling like as technology leaders, and it gets back to the cultural piece, that when we see these opportunities, we understand the business and the technology both. How do we marry those two things together to create value for Ford and our customers?
I also wanted to ask you, Marcy, you are one of a growing cadre of women CIOs among Fortune 500 organizations, large companies. And I wonder what your own personal view on the state of the union in women in IT is. I know that you take pride in mentoring other women inside and outside of the company. I'm sure that you've seen progress perhaps within the ranks of your own organization. But I'd love to understand, what your thoughts are in terms of the state of women in IT presently.
I think, as you said, it does appear to be growing a bit at the CIO level, and I am involved in a few efforts where we try to gather together female CIOs to talk to teams in a panel settings. I'm a past president of Michigan Women in Technology, but still very active. We have a big event here on March 8th to celebrate International Women's Day. So trying to do some things to make it visible to everybody, not just females, that there are female role models out there who have found their way into these leadership positions, and to let everybody hear their story. And I think about my own personal journey, it's hard sometimes when you can't see yourself anywhere to think that it's possible for you to aspire to certain roles. And so I think it's important to have role models of all kinds of people, not just females, visible. And so that's one thing I feel passionate about, and just is spending time doing that. And if I get invited to something where I think that it will help that, I try to, take advantage of the opportunity to go out there and meet people, make myself available. And I think it's also important to be approachable so people feel comfortable, no matter who they are, to send you a note, ask for your time. I've invited young girls in to join me for the day, show them around. And again, the message is, you can do this.
That's excellent. I also wanted to ask you mentioned earlier the advantages of Ford's culture of succession planning, of talent management. I've never had the pleasure of interviewing a Ford executive until today, but I've had an opportunity to interview a great number of Ford alumni, people like Ted Colbert, the global CIO of Boeing, Andy Karaboutis, who is the CIO at Dell and now is a EVP of Technology, Business Solutions, and Corporate Affairs at Biogen. Jim Schofield is the CIO at Nike now. Kim Hammonds, who went from CIO to COO at Deutsche Bank, all Ford alumni. And I wonder if you have some perspectives on why it is that Ford for quite some time has been this talent factory within the IT function, perhaps beyond, but germane for our conversation, within the IT function in such an extraordinary way. Do you have some perspectives on that, about the sort of breeding ground that this provides for people, not only like yourself, providing opportunities within the company, but for others that have gone on and spread their wings to become chief information officers elsewhere?
It's a really great question, and I've never been asked that, so I think it's great that you did, because I've often gotten feedback as people have left Ford in the IT community for various reasons, and then you stay in touch and you talk to them or you hear about how they're doing from other people. And whether it's senior people that you've mentioned or people at pretty much any level, they tend to leave us and do very well wherever they end up. So I think it's really along those same lines about what's different. Is there something different that we're doing that helps grow IT talent at any level? And I think, so a couple things come to mind, and again, this is my opinion, but I think number one is our scale. So a Fortune 10 company, our scale and our global reach is unique, and it is a very complicated environment. And I think sometimes for those of us that have been here for a long time, I've been here for 32 years, it's almost like the air you breathe. You take it a bit for granted because you're just used to operating in this matrix organization with the complexity and the global reach. And you learn to really enjoy it and love it. It makes life interesting. You learn every day. And I think once you operate like this, if you go somewhere else, it can be that it's almost a simpler environment. And so you're very well prepared for whatever challenges are thrown your way because you've operated in this complexity in this very global environment with a different set of cultures that you interact with every day. So I think that's one aspect. I think another aspect is just the IT approach strategy itself. And I'll have to credit really my successor, Nick Smitter, and those before him for that. While other companies have done maybe wholesale outsourcing, we were on a steady path of what I'll call selective sourcing. So it's not that we don't outsource things, we do. We have a very global IT organization, including a team of over 3,500 people in Chennai, India. So we do leverage different kinds of models, but the core business of Ford, especially that business that brings unique value to Ford, we've always kept in-house. And that allows us to grow leaders that have experiences of all sorts that I think really help people become well-rounded IT professionals. And when we think about kind of our triage, our mindset, so when we think about sourcing something externally, it's through a couple lenses. Number one, cost is a factor. But it's not the deciding factor. Two other things are. Cost is always very important, and it's always a factor in our decision-making. But we've also taken our business application portfolio and said, is this application and business process differentiated or non-differentiated? If it's non-differentiated, which means it's more commodity-like, it may be a candidate for outsourcing or other kind of selecting opportunity. If it's differentiated, which means it has unique value to Ford, we likely would not outsource that. We might augment our staff with key resources, and I can give some examples of where we're doing that in a very differentiated space. But we will tend to want to keep those skills very near to us and with our business customers. And the last piece of triage that we do is, regardless of those two items, is this a space that helps develop our team? So to create the next XYZ person in the community that is a very special, unique skill, what experiences does that person need to have to be successful? And if you give away all those experiences, it's really difficult to grow that kind of leader.
It certainly does. It resonates. Actually, it brings to mind the fact that, you know, there are many people that lament the disadvantages of old, staid, gigantic companies for perhaps the fact that they are huge ships that are difficult to turn, or maybe they've got old methods of doing things that are difficult to change, or perhaps the culture is ossified in some way. And it's actually refreshing to hear about some of the tremendous advantages of size and depth of opportunities in an organization that is managing things such to use that to tremendous advantage, an advantage that a startup simply can't have, for instance. So that you can identify, if I'm interpreting this correctly, Marcy, future leaders, and give them, as you described in your own experience, a very well-rounded set of experiences so that as they rise in the organization, they do so in whatever function they're in with a much richer context as to what the business is and how value is created on behalf of the customers. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And I think when you get into certain senior levels, you have to rely a lot on your instincts. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time to make a decision. And the more experience you have, I think the richer your instinct is to make quick decisions, provide guidance to the team, contribute to our business uniquely in those conversations that might not have anything to do with IT. But because you traveled around the company and you can see the functions across the company, how we connect horizontally, maybe in ways that even some of the business leaders can't because they may be very focused on their own business. Those are the kinds of advantages that we can provide, I think, and that help our leaders really add a lot of value. And I think that's why many of them have been very successful outside of Ford. And we have great hiring process. So there's a lot of things that contribute.
I wanted to ask you, I hope this isn't the kind of question of asking someone who their favorite child is, but do you have a favorite car, present or past, and why? I could probably take a guess at who manufactured that automobile, but I'd be interested in your perspectives on what you drive or what you've driven and why.
So I will say that I have favorites from time to time, but they do change as I interact with other vehicles. When I lived in Europe, I drove the Kuga, and I really loved that. In the U.S., that is the Escape. And I really enjoyed that. And right now I'm driving the Lincoln version of that, which is the MKC. I have long been a fan of our Flex, which is a very unique looking vehicle. It can be a little polarizing, and I actually like that about the vehicle. It's probably one of the most comfortable and flexible, probably hence the name, vehicles I've owned. And we enjoy in our family a lot of outdoor activities. So the extra space and the comfort and the storage that that provides has really been great. My husband tends to drive trucks, so F-150, he's driving an F-250 right now, so we can pull our boat, to be honest, but also because of the various outdoor activities that we enjoy. And I would say just as from a car perspective, our Fusion is an amazing vehicle. I drove that when I moved back from Germany, and I was really sad to give it up, to be honest. I would say those are some of my faves.
Excellent. And I'm curious also, as somebody who analyzes cars and the driving experience perhaps more than the average bear for obvious reasons, are you somebody who's looking forward to what appears to be a sort of a oncoming reality of the cars doing more of the work, potentially even driving for us for long stretches of time? Is that something that you're excited about?
I'm really excited about it because I think let me reflect back on our Ford heritage. In 1925, Henry Ford took an ad out in the Saturday Evening Post, and the theme of it was opening the highways to all mankind and really thinking about making the world a better place. And if I reflect on what you're saying, I think this is the current version of that, which is how do we help people be more mobile? You know, maybe an elderly person that, when you think about autonomous driving, that maybe can't drive or get around, but how do we provide people that freedom to move? And so I'm excited about it from that perspective. I think it fits really well in the fact that we're going to change the way the world moves again, just like we did 112 years ago with Henry Ford. And so I'm very excited about it from that perspective and how we can impact the world. And from my own perspective, I like choices. So I am a person that likes choices and options. And so I like the fact that I can choose to have a great driving experience. And I do love to drive. So I've driven on the Autobahn in Germany when I lived here, and I do a lot of driving now. And I do enjoy that, just the sheer feeling of that, and enjoying a car with good driving dynamics. But also there's times when maybe you need the car to do more for you. And I think providing those choices to people, and again, will help enrich their lives.
Great. You know, last question I wanted to ask you was, there are a lot of IT leaders whose teams are disconnected from the product or service that the company offers. Maybe it's a esoteric B2B company, let's say, for instance, where the IT team, to say nothing of other functions, can't really become customers of the company itself. You have an advantage in that, and I'm thinking about this in your answers to the last couple of questions. You have an advantage where everyone on your team presumably is or can be a customer of Ford, and therefore can have deeper insights, richer insights into what's working well, what isn't working well, where can technology play, where are there opportunities, talking about your point earlier about how innovation is everyone's responsibility, what are new innovations that could enhance their own driving experience and by extension then the average customer's experience as well. I wonder, is there an intentional or deliberate point made with your team to think of their commute to work, their driving vacation, their trip on the weekend as an opportunity to think a little bit more about what's missing or what would improve that experience?
Oh, absolutely. Number one, I think in some ways we're all kind of car guys. So you're always thinking about that. When people know you work for Ford, this happens to me probably at least once a week, if not more. The people around you are always giving me feedback. I mean, have something going on with one of my family members right now that's giving me feedback on one of our trucks. So you always are open to that feedback and taking it back to the company. And, you know, we're all ambassadors of Ford, and it's a great opportunity to continue to get feedback from all sources and improve the product. And then as we sit in meetings as IT leaders in the business community, it's a great opportunity to contribute from the feedback you might get from the outside, but also your own experiences. We tend to maybe use the car more deeply than some because we're maybe more comfortable and we know about some of the features. So think maybe we are excited to contribute and get feedback back. And as you said, it's a product that we can all use. Most people are here because they're really excited to be here at Ford from a company and culture perspective and also from a product perspective. So sometimes, you know, the poor product development leader gets a lot of probably free advice, but I think it helps make it an exciting place to work. And because we are more closely connected now through the vehicle connectivity efforts into the actual product, we've had the ability to provide feedback and influence really more than ever.
Well, Marcy Claiborne, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing a bit about your experiences, your rise through the ranks of Ford, now at the top role within an IT as CIO. It's been a really interesting conversation.
It was a lot of fun, and we really appreciate your interest in Ford. Thank you so much.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.